I got to say, first of all, with this Biden unvax mandate, telling people that if you employ people over 100, you're going to have to get them vaccinated or they're going to be harassed every week. And the fact that this is like completely against the Constitution. Many people are getting this wrong, why this is being done. And everybody needs to understand why this is being done right now. Okay, this is a political play, and I want you to understand it. We're going to deal with the outrage of this idea in a moment, all right? We're going to deal with his words and what he said about, as a tyrant, his exact words were, quote, our patience is wearing thin with Americans who haven't gotten vaccinated, that, you know, 80 million Americans are trying to kill everybody else. We'll deal with all that. But before we even get to that, I want you to understand exactly why Joe Biden did this. I would even argue this probably wasn't even Joe Biden's idea. This was political operatives at the White House, their idea to do this to get him an issue that will galvanize the country, divide the country, and it will solidify his base so that his approval ratings will not continue to free fall after what happened in Afghanistan. Also understand the timing of this. Hours before the 20th anniversary of September the 11th, which was supposed to be his big speech. Remember, this tyrant, right, this psycho that is Joe Biden, he was the one that was going to have the big speech on on September the 11th, right, saying, I'm the ones that got you out of Afghanistan. We are out at 20 years. You're welcome. You should thank me. Pat me on the back. I'm the most brilliant president of my lifetime, and I'm better than Bush. I'm better than Obama. I'm certainly better than Trump. I'm better than Carter. I'm better than all of them because I'm the one that got us out of this war. That was supposed to be September the 11th, 20th anniversary. Can't really do that speech right now because the American people are so outraged over the fact that you've devalued life to the point where 10% of Americans have been left behind by your own admission, by your words. You have an approval rating that's lower now than the lowest point in Donald Trump's presidency. So political operatives at the White House, and both sides have these people, both teams have these types of individuals. They're soulless. Okay, they don't think emotionally. They don't look at things emotionally. They look at issues. They try to galvanize people. They try to figure out, how do I solidify the base? How do I stop the ship from sinking, which is the Joe Biden presidency right now? And these people came up with this idea, and it's honestly a brilliant idea. Okay, we know that Democrats, and by the way, if you're listening to this right now, please hit the share button and share this with your family and friends, okay? Share our podcast with everybody so they understand why this is happening, all right? Please make sure that everybody you know listens to this podcast because you need to understand the psyche of the Democratic Party and this president right now. What Joe Biden has just done is a brilliant political move by the operatives around him. Said, okay, Democrats don't care about the Second Amendment. They don't care about the First Amendment. They don't care about the Constitution. In fact, they're almost ashamed of this country's Constitution. They're certainly ashamed of this country. We've been able to get rid of this idea that you should have freedom and this idea that you should have liberty. You know, the Democrats were the first to get in line statistically for the vaccine. Democrats were the first to get in line and stand 6 feet apart. Democrats were the first to give up their rights to run their private businesses and their restaurants with the COVID lockdowns. Democrats were the ones that said, if you go to church, you're trying to kill somebody. Democrats were the ones that said, give up Thanksgiving. Democrats were the ones that said, give up burying your dead. Democrats were the ones that said, don't have weddings. Democrats have no problem giving up rights. And Democrats, there's this core belief now within the Democratic Party that every American should just get in line, have no opinion, give up all your freedoms, and take the vaccine. These are the same Democrats, by the way, that are complete walking contradictions that used to, you know, for my entire life been screaming, my body, my choice. What happened to that logic, right? Well, we threw that out the window. Doesn't matter anymore. We're the party of my body, my choice with abortion and privacy, and you can't tell me what I can and can't do with my body. And then immediately they will contradict themselves after losing their minds over the Texas law. Right? After the federal government, the Democrats, the DOJ suing Texas over their new abortion law, after Democrats referring to Texas as the Taliban, the Texas Taliban, right? This abortion, Taliban abortion law. My body, my choice. Those people, now they're like, you have no body that's yours. The government owns it, and we get to decide what drugs go in it. That's insane. But this is liberal logic now in this country. Same socialism. It's just pure. It's pure tyranny. We have a tyrant, and they went to this tyrant, Joe Biden. They said, Joe, we need you to make a speech, and here's why. It'll get Afghanistan off the front pages, which is killing us right now. It will get a huge debate going in this country with a lot of people very angry at you, but it's okay because it's not our team that's going to be angry at you. It's going to be the Trump supporters. It's going to be the conservatives. It's going to be, you know, maybe even some of the Rand Paul type people out there will be angry at you. The libertarians will be angry, but that's okay because we already throw them into the conservative GOP group. This will help stop the bleeding on Afghanistan, Joe. You go out there and you mandate vaccines and you mandate masks and you tell people they're going to get fired from their jobs and you do this and you go out there and you tell them and you talk to them like you're a tyrant. You tell them you're getting your patience is wearing thin. We get changed the whole conversation from Afghanistan and the 10% of Americans left behind and the journalists being beaten and threatened with beheading. And we get to move past this 20th anniversary of September the 11th. That's a disaster for us PR wise. And we can get that approval rating up. We need this issue, Joe. And Joe said, okay. And that's why Joe went out there. And the timing of this was perfect. The timing was to get 9/11 and Afghanistan and the debacle of Afghanistan off the front pages. So fast forward, White House, unvaccinated Americans, quote, are entirely responsible for Joe Biden's failure to stop the coronavirus. That's the message. The reason we are here is because people have not gotten vaccinated, any million of them. That's what the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. Not because of any other reason. Jen Psaki was asked if Biden regretted his decision to declare independence from the coronavirus in July, only to have cases and hospitalizations resurge in the United States of America. She noted, quote, that the coronavirus was, quote, a smart virus that had evolved and would require the Biden administration to level more stringent vaccine mandates. Jen Psaki denied that Biden's new speech on fighting the virus was a reaction to the president's poll numbers on the handling of the coronavirus falling 12 points since April. Quote, this is not a political speech. It's certainly not about poll numbers. That's a lie. It absolutely is. This speech that he just gave was to try to shore up his base because Democrats have no problem getting in line 6 feet apart and handing over all of their rights and all of their freedoms. They did it for the last 18, 19 months. They're the ones that shut down restaurants. I mean, look at what they did to people in California. And they just did it. Ruined people's lives. Didn't matter. Doing it. Governor, tell me to do it. Newsom, tell me to do it. We'll do it. No problem. Look at what they did in New York. Can't even dine outside. Got to shut down all restaurants. Can't go to the gym. Can't go to school. Can't do anything. Can't bury the dead. Can't do anything at all. Got to wear a mask everywhere to go. Can't go on public transportation. They took away all of their rights, all of their freedoms, all of their liberties, and they're still doing it now and advocating for it. And if you think this is about public safety, it's also not. Proof of it? We also know there was a carve-out in this mandate. The mandate does not include the United States Postal Service. Why? Simple reason. The Postal Service is a huge lobby. It's a huge union. And they went to the White House and they said, oh, hell no. You aren't going to mandate our people get vaccines. And the White House said, okay, you're right. We won't do that to you. Don't worry. You guys vote for us. You've been good to us. You helped get out the vote for us. The union backed me. I need your support. The Democratic Party needs your support. Fine. We'll give you a carve out. You want to know who else got a carve out? Illegal immigrants. You come into this country illegally. You don't have to get a vaccine. We catch you at the border. We're not going to give you a vaccine. But we're going to mandate that American citizens get the vaccine, but not illegal immigrants. Now that I've painted this picture for you of why the president's doing this, I want to play for you some of the clips of this tyrant, because that's exactly what he is. He is a tyrant. And everybody knows it.
For other sectors, I issue this appeal to those of you running large entertainment venues, from sports arenas to concert venues to movie theaters. Please require folks to get vaccinated or show a negative test as a condition of entry.
Okay, number one, we're going to take away and go back to lockdown status. Now, again, the reason why Joe Biden laid it out this way is because Democrats have no problem with this. They will cheer this on. Democrats are the ones that are in favor of lockdowns. They were the ones in favor of losing their jobs. They were the ones in favor of the government giving them money to stay at home. So all of what you just heard sounds extremely familiar because it's exactly what we did 10, 12 months ago. We're dividing the country. You notice this now. See, this is what you call a wedge issue. This is like the new issue of abortion. When you talk about abortion, 50% disagree. Actually, about 48% disagree, 48% are in favor. And then you have this a little bit in between, right? It's a wedge issue. Galvanize people. That's what he just did. We're dividing the country now between those who are vaccinated. And the majority of Democrats are vaccinated. They want you to believe. Actually, it's not true. If you look at many in the inner cities in the country, they are some of the highest unvaccinated rates in America. It polls well with Democrats. So let's divide you. You want to go out in society? You got to be vaccinated. You want to go to a concert? You got to be vaccinated. You want to go to a football game? You got to be vaccinated. You want to do anything that makes you feel like a normal human being? You got to be vaccinated. If not, we're going to give up all those freedoms, all those rights. Because I'm a tyrant. I can do that. Okay, that's laying the groundwork number one. Keep listening.
And to the nation's family physicians, pediatricians, GPs, general practitioners, you're the most trusted medical voice to your patients. You may be the one person who can get someone to change their mind about being vaccinated. Tonight, I'm asking each of you to reach out to your unvaccinated patients over the next 2 weeks and make a personal appeal to them to get the shot. American, what more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see?
Again, now we're going to insult your intelligence. This isn't, I'm going to quote Joe Biden here. This is not about freedom. That's what he said. When a Democrat looks at you, a tyrant looks at you and tells you this is not about freedom, they're lying to you. Go back to December the 4th, 2020. Joe Biden said it was absolutely about freedom. Back in December 4th, 2020, Joe Biden actually said, I'm not in favor of vaccine mandates and or mask mandates because he was about freedom then. Now that's all changed, all out the door. We've got to galvanize the country. We've got to get past Afghanistan. We got to get past these soldiers that die. We got to get past what's going to happen to the Americans left behind. We got to get past all that, folks. Got to get past all of it. This is how we do it. We galvanize. And oh, by the way, doctors, you're either with us or you're against us. You're either with us or you are against us. So we're going to divide the doctors in this country. If you're one of those doctors that's not pushing vaccines, yeah, hell's coming for you too. In fact, you should probably lose your job. Hospital systems, Medicare, Medicaid, we're going to make the rules where if you don't get vaccinated in your hospital system and you don't push vaccines, doctors or nurses, you will be out of a job. Again, Democrats have no problem forcing doctors to do things because they have no problem forcing everybody else to do what they believe in.
We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
But our patience is wearing thin. Who is R, by the way? You notice the galvanizing issue again. Our patience is wearing thin. You heard that, right? Our patience is wearing thin. You divide the country yet again on this simple issue. Vaccines. When he says our patience is wearing thin, what he means by our patience is wearing thin is the people who have been vaccinated. That's what he means by that. That's what he means. Our patience wearing thin means exactly that. So this is a wedge issue. It's a divisive issue. And Joe Biden's not done dividing the country because, again, this is all about moving on past this debacle in Afghanistan and my approval rating. I will argue that his approval rating next week will actually go up because of this speech. A speech that is un-American, that is anti-freedom, that is anti the Constitution because Democrats love mandates. They love telling you how to live your life.
And your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing.
Your refusal has cost all of us. This is the President of the United States of America now attacking Americans. 80 million Americans who are eligible to get vaccines have not gotten them. This president is attacking 80 million Americans. I'm going to back this up about 10 seconds. I'm going to play it again, and I want you to think about the President of the United States of America speaking to 80 million Americans this way about your freedoms.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing. But just don't take it from me. Listen to the voices of unvaccinated Americans who are lying in hospital beds, taking their final breath, saying, if only I'd gotten vaccinated. If only. It's a tragedy. Please don't let it become yours.
This speech that he read off that teleprompter was written for one purpose: to distract from Afghanistan, to distract from the economy, to distract from inflation. We live in a country right now where renting a car is 70% more than it was a year ago. Buying a used car is 40% more now, 41% more now than it was a year ago. Gasoline prices have doubled in this country. Poultry prices are up. Inflation's up. The cost of goods are up about 8% overall for the year with no end in sight. You'll leave 10% of Americans behind. What do you do? This speech was made for that reason. And if you don't think the media is going to help him out, ho, 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 you're not paying attention either. You know, CNN, Chinese Communist News Network, and Don Lemon, all right? Don Lemon at CNN actually did us all a favor. He was so transparent in what he had to say about the president's speech last night. It was so transparent that it was actually just, I want to send him a thank you card, because it's exactly what I've been warning you about. They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in your right to choose. They don't really believe in your body, your choice, as they say it, right? They don't believe in any of this, folks. CNN actually said, this whole idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, well, let's be clear. We have to give you life through our mandates, and then you get your liberty. Okay? You get your liberty from us because we decide how and when you get your liberty.
There's been a lot of talk about freedom as a reason or an excuse or opposition for the vaccines and the mask. Just remember, though, before I go on to that, when people say, oh, it's my liberty, it's whatever, life. Yes, liberty, fine. Life is first. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You need the life part first. Okay? So today, President Joe Biden announced some mandates that he hopes will free the rest of us from this pandemic and try to move more people to get the vaccine, to do the right thing, including workers at companies with 100 or more employees, federal workers and contractors, and millions of healthcare workers, okay? The president warning his patients with the unvaccinated is wearing thin. It's worn thin. And admitting tonight, he is frustrated.
What makes it incredibly more frustrating is we have the tools to combat COVID-19, and a distinct minority of Americans, supported by a distinct minority of elected officials, are keeping us from turning the corner. These pandemic politics, as I refer to, are making people sick, causing unvaccinated people to die. We cannot allow these actions to stand in the way of protecting the large majority of Americans who have done their part and want to get back to life as normal.
True words have never been spoken. You know who else is frustrated? Dr. Anthony Fauci. You know how I know that? Because he told Anderson this just moments ago.
I am frustrated, and the reason is we do have the tools to end this. I mean, I've been in situations, in public health situations, where you didn't have the tools to end something that was devastating people with regard to illness and death. That is very frustrating. It's frustrating in a different way when you have the tools and you have the wherewithal to get to the end game of where you want to be, but you don't implement them.
The president also clearly outraged by people who refuse to do this, to wear masks, to do it on planes, and he is warning that they could be fined up to $3,000 for repeat offenders.
Tonight, I'm announcing that the Transportation Safety Administration, the TSA, will double the fines on travelers that refuse to mask. If you break the rules, be prepared to pay. And by the way, show some respect. The anger you see on television toward flight attendants and others doing their job is wrong. It's ugly.
Let's just recap the mentality of Joe Biden right now with these vaccine mandates. Number one, you got to have respect for people that are mandating you do things. And if you don't, well, there's going to be hell to pay and big fines, a.k.a. the airplanes. Number two, our patients, meaning those that have been vaccinated, are wearing thin. Mine isn't, by the way, and I'm vaccinated, just for the record. Just want to throw that out there, Mr. President. I'm not wearing thin with anybody, okay? But I don't guess that matters, right? Because we got to galvanize the country, divide the country, start a civil war over vaccines in this country. That's what they're actively trying to do right now. Also, he says you don't have liberty or life or the pursuit of happiness without doing what we tell you to do. And we'll take away that liberty and that pursuit of happiness anytime we deem that we should take it away from you. We will do it. And the reason why we will do that is because we can. And then we'll give it back to you. We'll give it back to you when we decide that you are responsible enough to have it. That's when we'll give it back to you. But until then, it's ours. Yeah, you can't do anything without us allowing you to do it. It's exactly what CNN said perfectly with Don Lemon.
So speaking of what we just talked about, right, there's been a lot of talk about freedom as a reason or an excuse or opposition for the vaccines and the mask. Just remember, though, before I go on to that, when people say, oh, it's my liberty, it's whatever, life. Yes, liberty, fine. Life is first. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You need the life part first.
So we can take away anything we want. We can take away any of it. Because until we decide that you're safe, you can't do anything. Now, there's one other aspect of this, and I think it should be brought up, and that is, what happens the next time they declare there to be some sort of pandemic? What happens then? What happens the next time? Because they've already declared that there is a gun pandemic in this country. Nancy Pelosi has said it. Joe Biden has said it. They've said there is a gun pandemic. So when there is a gun pandemic, can they just say, hey, you're no longer allowed to buy guns until we get the pandemic under control, until we get gun violence under control? I mean, you want to talk about the real slippery slope. This is it, folks. This is the real slippery slope. This is the whole ball game. You can get away with this one, and you can convince people that liberty and the pursuit of happiness and your freedoms only come after you do what we tell you to do, which is anything to do with your life. It's game on. Like at that point, it's game on. We can do and get away with whatever we want to. This goes back to the warnings that I made over and over and over again. The warnings that I said at the very end of the pandemic lockdowns. I said, this is no longer about you keeping you safe. Okay, this is no longer about trying to flatten the curve in 2 weeks. This is about them testing how many of your freedoms can they take away from you, and you'll submit to it. And what they've figured out now is that the Democratic Party and Democrats are willing to give up all of their rights. They're willing to give up everything if they feel safe while doing it. If you tell them and dictate to them that this will make you safe, that this is going to make you happy, that this is going to give you pleasure, that this is going to give you security. They'll give it all up. They'll be the first ones to open their door and give a hug to the government if they came and knocked on your door for your weapons. Here they are, sir. Thank you for keeping me safe. Somebody knocks on the door, kicks in the door later that night. Doesn't matter, right? Oops. Our bad. Police aren't there. You're dead. These are the same morons that will stand 6 feet apart. The same morons that will let their businesses be destroyed by a government. But I go back to the core point I made earlier. This is really not going to happen, I don't believe. I think states are going to be able to beat it. Now, liberal states, I think, will go along with it. Okay? I want to make that clear. I think liberal states will absolutely go along with this. They'll have no problem going along with this. Conservative states are going to fight it, and the list is getting long. I mean, any conservative, any Republican governor knows that it is a death wish for them if they don't back this or attack this mandate from Joe Biden. You know, this is the same president, Joe Biden, that will negotiate with terrorists but will not negotiate with the American people on vaccines. Let that sink in. Joe Biden will negotiate with terrorists, but he is refusing to negotiate with you, the American people, on vaccines. He is starting to get irritated. And a whopping 70% of unvaccinated Americans say they would quit their jobs if vaccines are mandated. This is, by the way, not the time to give your boss the middle finger and walk out. Don't do that. Okay? That's how they win. Don't do that. Organize, protest, get lawyers to represent you, and fight back. This is not the time you just walk out and say, screw you, I'm out of here. This is the same president that doesn't believe any of the crap he's selling right now, because if he did, he would mandate that the vaccines would not just be for law-abiding citizens, they would also be for illegal immigrants that are caught coming across the border. And he has also exempted the illegal immigrants coming across the border from getting the COVID-19 vaccine. This is the same guy that said the Postal Service gets an exemption from the vaccine mandate. So if this really is about your freedoms, then why are you letting thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of postal workers not have to get vaccinated to keep their jobs? And why are you allowing millions of illegal immigrants to not have to get the vaccine? By the way, the list of states that are already rejecting Biden's demands, and this is what I think the White House was hoping for, because all of this and the fact that I've had to spend this show talking about this is great news for the Biden administration, because you're not focused on 9/11 anniversary. You're not focused on the 13 Marines that were killed. You're not focused about the 10% of Americans left behind in Afghanistan. You're not focused on the disaster, the economy right now, and hyperinflation and the cost of goods and everything else. 2 million jobs right now open in this country. Small businesses desperate for workers. No one's showing up. No one's applying for the jobs. So this is all a distraction from that, because those issues are actually hurting Joe Biden. They are hurting Joe Biden, and this issue, mandates of vaccines, help him solidify his base. Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Utah, Arizona, Alaska. All of those states' governors have already come out, and there will be more. They've already come out and said, we're going to fight this. The RNC has already said they're going to sue the Biden administration over this unconstitutional vaccine mandate. And I think the White House absolutely understands and knows that this is an unconstitutional vaccine mandate. Biden's new vaccine mandate for federal employees and even private employees is probably one of the most tyrannical things that's ever been done by a U.S. president in our history. Joe Biden's own words, quote, we must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements. Quote, this is not about freedom or personal choice. This is not about freedom or personal choice. Well, what it really is about is Joe Biden's approval rating has fallen to 39%. Another poll has him at 37%. That's the worst than Trump's approval rating ever got. And this is the guy who got 81 million votes. And he's desperate for support right now because Biden even had to exempt the Postal Service from vaccine mandates. And it comes after the union that endorsed him objected and said, nuh-uh. So Joe Biden's administration has exempted the U.S. Postal Service, which employs nearly 650,000 people, from its executive order. And you also have contractors outside of that. So 650,000 Americans that he just criticized for not getting the vaccine will be exempt because they're in a union that supports Joe Biden. So if you really think this is about public safety, it's not. This is a distraction from the president's 39% approval rating that is collapsing, the lowest of his presidency, and lower than Trump's ever got. That is why they're doing this, plain and simple. We have got a lot to talk about today. Number one, a massive victory for those that actually care about our Second Amendment, as the ATF nominee has now had to, well, withdraw his name. Biden administration, egg all over their face. Why? Because you don't put a guy that's on the record as being anti-gun as the ATF director. Republicans and all Americans that believe in the Constitution should be celebrating defeating David Chapman as the ATF nominee. This is a crushing loss, we're being told, for Joe Biden within the White House. I'm going to have some more information on that coming up in a moment. Also, Joe Biden is now planning to mandate vaccines for millions of federal employees, contractors, and saying this is just the first step in the right direction. We also have some new emails that are showing that Hunter Biden was actually offered $10 million annually by a Chinese energy firm for introductions alone to his dad and others in positions of power in the U.S. But before we get to those stories, there is a guy by the name of Joe Rogan. Some of you may listen to his podcast. I'm actually a big fan of Joe Rogan. I think what he does is very unique. I think he's been a pioneer in the podcasting world. I don't always agree with everything he says or does, but I do like how authentic he is. Now, Joe Rogan is a guy that has asked a lot of questions about COVID-19 and about mass mandates and about the vaccines. And Joe Rogan's a guy that got COVID recently. Now, when he got it, the media immediately basically started celebrating it, like, aha, see, this guy who asked questions, who didn't get in line, didn't go out there and immediately do the vaccine the way we told him to. And we're going to declare him, of course, because he disagrees with everything that we tell you must do, the Biden administration and CNN and others. We're going to label him as a disinformation conspiracy theorist. Now, Joe Rogan is not like a hardcore conservative or a liberal. He's kind of a libertarian. He goes one way on some issues and goes the other on other issues. And I appreciate the fact that he's very authentic. Now, Joe Rogan is one of the most listened to podcasters in the country. Joe Rogan and the Joe Rogan Experience is what his show is. Millions and millions of downloads a day. This is a guy who was immediately attacked because he decided to use a drug that was prescribed to him by a doctor to fight COVID-19. Now, immediately, CNN went all crazy on him, right? That Jim Acosta, the guy that, you know, used to scream at Donald Trump and is, you know, crazy in his own right, immediately started attacking Joe Rogan, saying that Joe Rogan's basically responsible for overdoses and millions of people dying. We also saw even more fake news when there were reports that there were hospitals overcrowded because of Joe Rogan, because Joe Rogan advocated for taking a horse dewormer pill or medicine, and that all these people were going rogue and taking these pills and this medicine, right? That's what they're saying. And we also found out that that story was not true. In fact, the news actually used a picture that wasn't even from the hospital to look like there was a line at the hospital and that all these people are dying because they were listening to Joe Rogan. Now, Joe Rogan has come back from COVID, and he came back very quickly, by the way, from COVID. Just want to make that clear. He has successfully beaten COVID. Now, I'm not advocating for what he did. I think you can make decisions with your doctor, and you should decide with your doctor what you want to do with your doctor. But I do think that there's just not a one-size-fits-all to treatment for COVID. I think it's pretty clear that there is not a one-size-fits-all for any of this, and that there's only one way, right? Only one way to treat it, or one, quote, right way to treat it. I don't believe in that crap either. Now, Joe Rogan is now saying, hey, do I need to sue CNN because they're just flat out making crap up and lying about me? And it's gone viral on the internet, too. Take a listen.
Bro, do I have to sue CNN?
I don't know. I don't know. Do you?
They're making up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for use in human beings.
Yeah.
And CNN is saying I'm taking horse dewormer.
Yeah, what? So well,
they must know that that's a lie.
Well, there's a lot of people saying it.
Right, but a lot of people can say it.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, the internet says it, who cares?
Sure.
But CNN is anyway. Saying it. Like, Jim Acosta. But what they didn't highlight is that I got better.
Yeah, you got better quickly.
They try to make it seem as if, like, I'm doing some wacky shit that's completely ineffective.
Right.
And CNN was saying that I'm a distributor of misinformation.
By the way, he got it from a doctor. He didn't go to a vet clinic and just go buy some random horse dewormer off the shelves and then administer it to him himself. But if you listen to Jim Acosta over the Chinese Communist News Network, CNN, he actually asked Fauci about this, right? Did you ever expect to compete with Tucker Carlson with misinformation and Joe Rogan to debunk COVID misinformation? Take a listen.
And wearing masks.
You've had to debunk misinformation coming from some high places throughout this pandemic. Some of the latest Fox's Tucker Carlson, he's been defending counterfeit vaccine cards. Let's just watch a little bit of that.
Buying a fake vaccination card is an act of desperation by decent law-abiding Americans who have been forced into a corner by tyrants. You know what's a serious crime? Forcing Americans to take drugs they don't need or want. That's a very serious crime. And let's hope in the end someone is punished for it severely.
By the way, we also know now that Fauci lied about gain-of-function research and funding at the Wuhan lab. Do you think Jim Acosta asked him about that? Oh, hell no. No, Jim Acosta at CNN would never ask Dr. Fauci that question, right? Instead, he'll play a video of Tucker Carlson bring up a legitimate point that it is a crime to force people to take drugs against their will, which is, and to say that you're forcing people into a situation where they're having to make fake vaccine passports because of a government that is clearly overstepping their bounds, is a valid point that Tucker Carlson is saying. Now, is Tucker Carlson defending fake vaccine cards? No. He is stating the facts of why people are doing it. There's a very big difference. Tucker Carlson didn't say, here's a website to buy your fake vaccine cards, and every American should go out there and buy or create or make fake vaccine cards. That's not what he said. He was explaining the cause and effect of why people, good people, felt like they were forced into a corner to come up with a vaccine passport that is fake, to live in a society where the government has clearly overstepped their bounds. He didn't say, go get your fake vaccine card at TuckerCarlson.com, right? He didn't say, go on this website or go to this shady place and buy your fake vaccine passport card. That's not what he said, which is exactly why I played you the clip that CNN just played for their audience. But listen to how Dr. Fauci responds.
And podcast host Joe Rogan, he came down with COVID. He says he's been taking the livestock dewormer ivermectin.
By the way, ivermectin is, if you talk to any doctor, okay, go talk to a doctor. Ivermectin is a drug that is given to human beings. This idea that we're somehow taking a drug that is only given to horses as a dewormer is insane. Ivermectin has, if you look at the label, has like literally no side effects. It's an incredibly safe drug that got a prize. This drug, literally, the makers of this drug were given awards for coming up with an incredible drug. But just like hydroxychloroquine, if you do something or try something, or if you're a doctor and you prescribe this drug to people to possibly treat COVID-19, you are public enemy number one. And we slander the drug, which, by the way, has also been used as a horse dewormer. A lot of, I mean, hell, my dog has gotten Advil right? Or whatever it is. I can't remember which one it is, Tylenol or whatever they give them. Dogs are certain that you can give dogs and can't give dogs, right? But whatever it is, there are drugs that are used in humans that are also used in animals. That's not abnormal, is my point. You look at CNN and how desperate they are to discredit anyone that doesn't do what they tell you to do, right? Which is mask and get the vaccine. Mask, get the vaccine. Mask, get the vaccine. They are so desperate that they will purposely manipulate the truth. They will purposely lie to create a headline that makes somebody look crazy. Again, ivermectin, talk to doctors. They prescribe to humans all the time for multiple things. And what is it that CNN says? They say, well, this podcaster, right, Joe Rogan, he says he was treated with a horse dewormer. Like, only this drug is for horses. Okay, that's just a lie. That's misinformation. Fake news. Okay, this is why Donald Trump called them fake news all the time. Because they literally, it's not just fake news. They actually create fake news and then try to pass it on as fact. Now, Dr. Fauci also knows that ivermectin is something that is used in humans every day. All over the world. Safe drug. Used for a lot of things. You think he's going to correct Jim Acosta at CNN? No, because they want to slander Joe Rogan as well, right? These crazies out there taking this drug that's for horses. It's not made for humans, right? That's what they're implying, even though this drug was originally made for humans, and then it has been used in animals.
And podcast host Joe Rogan, he came down with COVID. He says he's been taking the livestock dewormer ivermectin, as well as other treatments that people talk about on the internet and so on, doesn't have any effect on COVID, obviously. Did you ever expect...
By the way, doesn't have any effect on COVID, obviously. Who says who? Because we now know that doctors actually are prescribing this, and we know they're prescribing them all over the country. Right? The idea that you can just come out and claim something that is absolutely not true, which is exactly what Jim Acosta literally just did. Okay, Jim Acosta literally just made up another lie, saying that it has no effect at all on COVID. There are thousands of doctors, maybe tens of thousands of doctors around the world that have been prescribing ivermectin. I know like 5 or 6 people that got COVID and their doctors prescribed for them. They didn't ask for it. Their doctors did it on their own. So how can you say such a thing as Jim Acosta just said? Because when you're at CNN, you can literally make up crap as much as you want. Now, do you think Dr. Fauci is going to correct any of this and say, look, to be clear, there are doctors out there. They're trying their best to help people that get COVID-19. And there's different drugs they're using. One of them is, you know, ivermectin. Just make sure you don't buy it from, you know, or go grab off the shelves at a vet clinic or at a food store for, you know, dog food store. Like, don't do that. Make sure it's under the care of a doctor, because that's what Dr. Fauci should say if he actually cares about health and it wants to have some integrity. We know he doesn't, though, because he lied about the Wuhan lab. We know he lied about funding it. We know he lied about gain of function research. We know he flat out lied to Congress under oath. So you think he's going to correct all the crap just said by CNN? No, of course not. Listen to this.
The fact that you would have, I guess, to compete with the likes of Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan, Dr. Fauci, and are their voices more powerful and, I guess, more widespread than people like yourself, other public health experts who are out there? And isn't that part of the problem?
Well, Jim, disinformation and misinformation is really a very serious issue when it comes to a public health issue like COVID-19, in which it is essential to get correct information out, both for people who are infected and who do need proper medication and proper care, to foster things that are unproven right from the beginning has always been a problem. The best way to counter
And by the way, real quick, so are you saying that ivermectin is something that shouldn't be used? Is that what he's saying? Let's go back to Joe Rogan. So is Joe Rogan's doctor gone off the reservation? Is Joe Rogan's doctor someone that should lose his medical license? Because what Dr. Fauci just implied is that anything that I say you shouldn't use, or if it's not my idea, automatically is somehow trying to harm a patient. Do I think that Joe Rogan's doctor tried to harm him? No. I would argue that Joe Rogan's doctor wanted to make sure that Joe Rogan got well as quick as possible, because he certainly didn't want it on his name that, hey, Joe Rogan died under my care, or that I killed him by giving him a cocktail that he should not have gotten. Joe Rogan is absolutely right to say, should I sue CNN? Hell yeah, you should, in my opinion. Sue the hell out of him. But he didn't go buy this from some vet clinic, okay? He didn't get this on the black market. It was prescribed to him by a medical doctor, an MD.
CNN?
I don't know, do you?
They're making it up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for use in human beings.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? A Nobel Prize for use in human beings. So if we gave a Nobel Prize to a company for coming up with ivermectin that is used in human beings, not in horses, which is what CNN's headline says, right? That's what they claim. It's only for horses. No, it was actually a Nobel Prize for use in humans. Doesn't matter. Doesn't fit the narrative. We got to attack anybody that does what we tell them they can't do, which is you must get vaccinated and you must wear a mask.
And CNN is saying I'm taking horse dewormer.
Yeah, what? So well,
they must know that that's a lie.
Well, there's a lot of people saying it.
Right, but a lot of people can say it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the internet says it. Who cares?
Sure.
But CNN is saying it. Like Jim Acosta. But what they didn't highlight is that I got better.
Yeah, you got better quickly.
They try to make it seem as if like I'm doing some wacky shit that's completely ineffective. And
right.
CNN was saying that I'm a distributor of misinformation.
Distributor of misinformation. Yeah. Distributor of misinformation. That's Joe Rogan. Public enemy number one. CNN says so. Dr. Fauci, can you believe that you actually have to compete with Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson?
Disinformation and misinformation is to try as best as we all can to get the proper and correct information out. But one of the enemies of public health is disinformation. And unfortunately, we do see that in some quarters.
Now he knows, by the way, he knows that ivermectin is a drug that won a Nobel Peace Prize for use in humans, not in horses. Did he correct that? No. If you're a freaking doctor and you're the guy in charge, shouldn't you at least say that? Shouldn't you at least correct CNN a little bit and be like, let's be clear, ivermectin is used in humans. I'm not saying it's only used in horses. Okay, I want to be clear about this. Like, you would think that's something that might be said. Nope, not going to say that. In fact, why would we say such a thing? We should never say such a thing like that, because it would kill the narrative, folks. If Fauci wants us to trust him, if the administration wants us to trust him, if CNN wants us to trust them, then don't do stupid crap. You know, even on TV, we found out that Joe Rogan's skin color was actually changed to make him look really sick on some channels when he made his initial announcement on video that he had COVID. Like, people actually changed his skin color. Think about how stupid that is, to make him look sicker than he was, because this is the guy that's like anti-vax, right? Right, this is anti-vax, folks. Do I have to sue CNN? I would if I was him. You know, and the other part that's messed up is there's actual Democrats now that are mocking Joe Rogan, mocking that he recovered from COVID. That is a bizarre world that we live in when this is what is happening. But even Democrats are furious, like that Joe Rogan recovered, right? They want him to die or go to the ICU or have to take it back and say, don't do what I told you to do.
So Joe Rogan is the number one podcast in the country, and he got the coronavirus, and he took ivermectin, which they mock as a horse drug, which is actually in 2015 won the Nobel Prize because it was so innovative and so effective. So some people do use it for horses. So he basically, according to them, should not be eligible to go to a hospital should he have needed it. Instead, he recovered in 2 days and he's back. Should they tell Joe Rogan how he should not be allowed to get any medical treatment?
No. In fact, Joe Rogan should trust his doctor. And guess where he got that prescription from? That was his doctor. Jimmy Kimmel didn't write the script for this. It wasn't up to Howard Stern whether or not Joe Rogan got ivermectin. Joe Rogan went to his doctor and got a human drug called ivermectin, one of many drugs apparently he took during his bout with COVID. And thank God he succeeded getting through it. But he's being mocked for it and attacked for recovering from COVID. We live in a bizarre world.
We do, especially when you cite Anthony Fauci, who told us, don't worry about the pandemic, don't wear a mask, wear two masks, wear goggles, don't worry.
He's right, by the way. Fauci is the guy that everybody should be talking about right now. Instead, you have the media that's like, oh, no. No, we're going to talk about Joe Rogan. We're going to ask Fauci about Joe Rogan. Look at the New York Post, by the way. The New York Post published a piece saying Fauci needs to go. He hid the Wuhan truth. And according to this brand new story written and published by the New York Post, Dr. Fauci has been not only, they say, an impediment to knowing the true story of COVID-19, but he should no longer be advising the country about the current pandemic because he cannot be trusted because he lied to Congress. These new reports cast serious doubt on Fauci's insistence that no U.S. money went to gain-of-function research, by which scientists manipulate viruses, often making them more transmittable to humans. We now know that we gave money to Wuhan, and he lied about it. Fauci testified before Congress in May and insisted that the U.S. had, quote, never, has not ever, and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Records acquired by The Intercept detail the grants that the U.S. government's scientific agency gave to an outfit called EcoHealth Alliance, which funneled that money to research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. Fauci has been, and by the way, knew this, right? He has been an impediment to knowing the true story of COVID-19. It's obvious he prioritized funding and research over accountability, the Post editorial board went on to say in their piece. Congress should call Fauci on the carpet to explain under oath exactly what he knows about EcoHealth in Wuhan. And then, as we've said before, he needs to go. He's undermined the trust needed to successfully fight the pandemic. I couldn't agree with him more. A vaccinated society needs to move on, and it needs to know the truth. But we need someone to tell the truth so that people trust what they're being told by their leaders in health. Unfortunately, it's very clear that Fauci has become extremely political. He is a hardcore leftist in charge of public health. And you should not have politics in public health discussions. He lied. Fauci lied again. Yes, his agency funneled coronavirus research money to the Wuhan lab. Yes, they did gain-of-function research. And after the COVID-19 outbreak, EcoHealth president of their company wanted scientists, including Fauci, to publicly denounce the idea that the virus leaked from the Wuhan lab. We know that is a fact. Quote, I've already asked the Department of Justice to review Fauci's testimony for lying to Congress, Senator Rand Paul said in another tweet published yesterday. The report should make it abundantly clear that he needs to be held accountable. Experts also have now come out saying documents show Fauci funded Wuhan lab created the coronavirus with enhanced pathology for humans. He knew it, he lied, and they covered it up. We got 900 pages of documents showing that's exactly what happened. We know that he lied. It's obvious he lied. Quote, the material further reveals for the first time that one of the resulting Novell laboratory generated SARS-related coronavirus, one not have been previously disclosed publicly. And we now know that this has happened and it was constructed by human beings. The fact the U.S. government agency led by Fauci provided funding for that research should also spark a much needed debate. Senator Paul said, you got to investigate into this funding and you need to have a ban on any future funding of the Wuhan lab, which we still have not stopped. Quote, I forced a vote about a month ago in the Senate and we actually won unanimously. So no longer will we fund the Wuhan Institute, no longer fund the research in China, Paul said in a radio interview. Yet, it hasn't been signed into law by the president. It hasn't been passed by the House yet. Why? Because they love Fauci. Fauci's the guy that also wears a mask that literally says NIH research keeps us safe, advocating for NIH. The same NIH that gave money to the Wuhan lab. He's wearing a mask that says NIH research keeps us safe. No, actually, NIH research is what gave the Wuhan lab money to conduct gain-of-function research with coronaviruses. And we know this now. Hell, in an article last May documenting the evidence behind the lab leak theory that COVID-19 originated at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, even the New York Times writer Nicholas Wei detailed the Wuhan lab's extensive research into genetically engineering coronaviruses that could attack human cells. In the New York Times, Wade explained that the Wuhan lab's approach was designed to find the best combination of coronavirus backbone and spike proteins for infecting human cells. The approach could have generated SARS-2-like viruses and indeed may have created the SARS-2 virus itself with the right combination of virus backbone and spike protein. Wade further noted in the New York Times, it cannot be stated. The head of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the Dr. Shi, did or did not generate SARS-2 in her lab because her records have been sealed. But it seems she was certainly on the right track to have done so. It is clear that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was systematically conducting this type of experimentation and assessing the ability to infect human cells. This is what they were doing. Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist at Rutgers University and leading expert on biosafety, said it is clear that depending on the constant context chosen from this analysis, that this work was obviously working to produce SARS-CoV-2. It's obvious this came from the Wuhan lab, that they were doing gain-of-function research, particular to COVID-19. Wade concluded the lab escape scenario for the origin of the SARS-2 virus, as should by now be evident, is not mere hand-waving in the direction of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It is a detailed proposal based on specific project being funded there by our government. Yet we're going to go after public enemy number one, which is a podcaster. Because we're going to lie to you and tell you that how he got treated by a doctor with ivermectin is a horse dewormer. We're going to lie to you all day long so that you'll go get vaccinated. And you'll mask. And you'll do as you're told. That is how sick this administration is. And this is the same administration that's still not moved on defunding the Wuhan lab and making sure that no dollars from the United States of America will ever go again to the Wuhan lab. Think about why. Congressman has now exposed Joe Biden's lies after rescuing stranded Americans, and the State Department tried to tell you that they are the ones responsible for getting people out of Afghanistan in the last 24, 36 hours. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen said it's a bold-faced lie for the Biden administration to say that they were a part of a successful evacuation of Americans. In fact, we're now being told, because of leaked emails, that the Biden administration is purposely stopping charter planes, purposely stopping Americans from being able to get out of and evacuate from countries around Afghanistan if we can get them through the border. This is a huge, huge problem. One of the men that's been responsible for getting Americans out of the country is a man who's running for office in Florida, a man that is former military who has gotten together with other former military to get people out of the country. And he told his story to Sean Hannity last night about how frustrating it is that not only the State Department has lied to you about these Americans getting out, but they're actually stopping us. The State Department is stopping us from rescuing other Americans that we're trying to get out of the country. Take a listen to this shocking interview.
Joining us now, U.S. Army combat veteran. He rescued Americans from Afghanistan. Also a congressional candidate from Florida. Corey Mills is with us. He's at an undisclosed location right outside Afghanistan. Well, Corey, first of all, I want to say this to you, and apparently somebody told me just before the showtime, people are criticizing me for saying this on my radio show. The fact that you and retired special ops guys are willing to put yourself behind enemy lines to save Americans, I am in awe of the courage and commitment and love of country that you're showing. I wish our president shared that love. Thank you for your efforts. I hope we can help you in these efforts. My question to you is, they're now taking credit for what you've done. You have a pretty strong response to them.
Well, first off, thanks so much for having me, Sean, and I appreciate what you had to say. I was not the organizer or the leader. There was no real leader when it came to our team. We are a group of individuals who have very special skill sets and backgrounds. I was honored to be a member of that team to help with facilitating and coordinating some of the operations that went on in order to save this family. But you're exactly right, Sean. If the U.S. administration had done what they're supposed to do, it wouldn't be necessary for guys like myself or the brave members of our team. We've got guys on our team who speak five languages. We've got guys who spent decades in special operations. And, you know, fortunately, we were able to rescue this mother and her three children. But again, no single American should have been left behind. There are more Americans that are still behind the line. Now, we found some great coordination when it came to the local U.S. State Department that was in the country that we were actually getting them out. But when it came to D.C., taking full credit, it's just untrue.
So tell me about, to the extent you can, and I know of things that I really don't want to talk about, the American people will learn about heroism at a level that will inspire them. I can say that. But there are people that have put themselves in harm's way, trained soldiers, the best of the best, to save Americans. How do we possibly save, if Daryl Issa is right, 500 fellow Americans? How do we do that?
Well, Sean, I'll tell you that, you know, we have quite a few that we've compiled in our list. We know there's other teams that are trying to execute some of the same things that we're doing. My understanding was even Glenn Beck, who, you know, great American, he's also tried to get over 100 people. The six planes that were at Mazar-e Sharif, they were fully manifested. So there is zero doubt that there are hundreds of Americans still behind the line that still need our help. And again, no one left behind.
Okay, what about the State Department obstruction of this rescue flights from Afghanistan? They refused to grant official approval for the private evacuation flights. I read about Glenn Beck. I'm very appreciative of his efforts. Anything we can do to help him, Glenn, if you're watching, please let us know. I'll do anything you need. And the department conceded that official authorization would likely be needed. Why would there be any delay for such a rescue mission, knowing what we're dealing with here?
Well, again, I'm not really sure why they would prevent such things, but I can tell you that I observed two of these incidents myself. We had an actual aircraft that was flying in, had an approved PPR. We had an FAA flyover approvals, everything that was necessary to land. We were about 9,000 feet off the deck, landing gear down into the descent, and we were told to do a go-around and that our PPR was disapproved. We were able to, through some of the amazing guys on our team, apply for another PPR while in the air, get three more PPRs that were approved that were immediately disapproved, at which point we were told that the only way we're landing is if we get approval from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley himself. We had circled for about 15 minutes in the pattern. I asked the pilot to land. The pilot basically radioed in that he was going to land. And at that stage, that's whenever they said, if you land, we will take your pilot's license, we'll take your aircraft certificate, and even had an F-16 up in the air at the time. So that was one of the incidents that, you know, that aircraft itself could have held 25 Americans. They said that the excuse is that our aircraft wasn't big enough. Sean, here's the thing. When you've got a PPR approval, that means you already have a guaranteed landing slot. There wasn't someone coming in and replacing our landing slot. So that meant that's 25 Americans that we had at the gate, that we had ready to go, that basically had to find an alternate method or an alternate route. Now, the second time after we made all of our coordinations, that our team gathered everyone up in a safe house and securely moved them over into Mazar-e Sharif, that's where we had an aircraft that was already allocated. Manifest was finished. They were all ready to go. And the State Department, CENTCOM Command, and the Taliban had approved for this flight to leave. And at the last minute, as Americans were getting ready to get on that Freedom Bird, that's when the State Department said, nope, we have to vet the manifest once more. And that flight was canceled. And since then, they haven't had a flight that's gone out.
It's unbelievable. I think most Americans listening cannot believe what they're hearing. I can't believe it, but I do, sadly. Corey, Godspeed in your efforts. If we can help you in any way or reach out to our audience to offer you help, if you have any information to pass on, will you please do that?
Yes, absolutely, Sean. And I can say that there are a lot of Americans that are still left behind. The members of our team are still actually being active and trying to support that. We're all volunteers. We're all here at our own dimes and trying to do what we can. So I'd love to try and come back to you and post something about our foundation so that we can try and get more help to get these people out.
Now, I want you to think about the mentality of the Biden administration, where they are willing to sacrifice American lives because they don't want to give credit to other people for doing the job that they should be doing. And that's exactly what Representative Mullen, a Republican from Oklahoma, said about this. Look, the State Department trying to take credit for a rescue of four American citizens from Afghanistan is total bullcrap. Right? This is ridiculous. And this new email, which reveals the State Department, quote, refused to grant official approval for private evacuation flights from Afghanistan to land in third world countries. Furthermore, the email shows the State Department explicitly stated that charter flights, even those containing American citizens, would not be allowed to land at the Defense Department air bases out of fear of, quote, importing terrorists. In response to State Department's reluctancy, Representative Mullen led a covert team of veterans, contractors, and volunteer members to evacuate four Americans. On Monday, he announced that the Americans he sought to help were successfully evacuated from Afghanistan, and that the State Department's response, trying to steal credit for this heroic effort of others, is, I would argue, anti-American. Mullins joined Congressman Duffy to discuss the feelings regarding the State Department's claiming credit for the actions of people like him, saying, I would like to say I was surprised, but I wasn't. Because this is exactly what you should expect from this administration, the Biden administration. I want to also let you hear from Congressman Mullen, who is the one that has now come out saying it's a bold-faced lie for the Biden administration to say that they were involved in any type of successful evacuation because they didn't do anything. In fact, they tried to hinder us until the very last moment when I guess they realized this was going to happen. It was going to be a success. Take a listen.
This is an amazing story. I mean, it's just outrageous. How angry, how mad are you that after everything that you and that organization, that nonprofit went through, you have the State Department trying to take credit for it?
You know, I would like to say I was surprised, but I wasn't. Along the way, we had multiple ambassadors that we spoke to that had told us when we were trying to arrange what we call rat lines, because with these same people, we tried to get out to Hakaya, and we couldn't get the State Department to open the gate. We tried on the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th multiple times, and when they said that anybody that wanted to leave could leave, that's not true, because you had to go through three Taliban checkpoints, and each one of them would charge between $500 to $1,000 a person to cross those checkpoints. So that's why the other countries was going out and getting their citizens and bringing them back, but not the United States. But at the orders from either Secretary Blinken or President Biden. And so when we started trying to find other places to take them out of through other countries and set up rat lines, which we have been successful doing, we have right now 23 other U.S. citizens, AMSETs, in safe houses in different locations outside of Kabul that are waiting to get out too. When we started trying to find and work with embassies around there, they told us, they said, Mr. Mullen or Rep. Mullen, we have been instructed not to assist you in any way. Now, this is embassies telling me that Washington, D.C. told them not to assist us in any way. And it's a bold-faced lie when they're still out there saying that this was a successful evacuation, this was a successful mission, when, Rachel, the truth is, I wouldn't be there if it was successful, and other organizations wouldn't be there, and the Sentinel Foundation wouldn't be there if it was successful. And then when we worked for literally 48, almost around-the-clock hours, trying to negotiate with the Taliban to release Miriam to be able to come across the bridge, And then Blinken puts out a statement that says that the Taliban was helpful and released them. I will tell you, at 3 o'clock yesterday morning, Central Standard Time, at 3 o'clock yesterday morning, they had threatened to kill her because I was on the phone with her, and they had threatened to kill her if she approached the checkpoint again.
Right.
This is how big of scumbags we have at the State Department and at the Pentagon, at the Biden administration. This congressman exposing Biden's lies after rescuing these stranded Americans, saying the idea that the Taliban worked with them, the idea that the Taliban wasn't, they were threatening to kill her. And they were doing nothing. Multiple times we tried to get these people to the airport. They three checkpoints. Here's how much it costs to get these people through the checkpoints. You know, people try to slander and criticize this congressman for trying to bring cash into Afghanistan, massive amounts of cash. And his response has been simple. The Taliban doesn't take credit cards. You want to know why I'm trying to bring in cash? I'm trying to bring in cash because it costs money to get through the checkpoints. The Taliban aren't stupid. They know American lives are worth something and they want money. They want to get paid. They want to get paid, and they don't take credit cards. They take raw cash. They take real cash. They take real money to get them through. And this idea that the Biden administration is doing anything to help us is just not true. They're doing the exact opposite of that.
And that doesn't sound like they're working with us.
No.
But Blinken, he goes out there and wants to take credit for it. And it infuriates me because they continue to lie to the American people.
I'm sure you've had some time to think about this entire ordeal. And you have to wonder, and I'm sure you have, and tell me what you think the answer is. Why would the State Department stand in the way of you helping when they didn't do it?
You know, my personal opinion is they're trying to squash this story. They want this bad news to go away as soon as possible. And I truly believe that their way to do that is just not allow it to be a story anymore.
Right.
And why else would they not allow American citizens? You know, a while ago you talked about the airplane setting in Mezar Sharif Mez, mm-hmm. and the State Department not giving them clearance to land. Well, we've been working on several of those planes. In fact, Miriam was on one of those planes before we pulled her off. And we had suggested to the State Department, I made this suggestion. I called them and said, why don't we let one plane leave that only has AMSETs, American citizens, and SIVs, which are special immigration visas that are granted to come to the U.S. Why don't we just fill up one plane and allow them to come in? And they said, well, no, we can't because we won't know who's on the manifest sheet. I said, I will give you the passports and all the documentations of the SIVs to show who's on there. And they still wouldn't grant us the opportunity to leave.
Right. On top of all of this, Congressman, the worst part, and maybe it's not the worst part, but it's one of the parts, is that the State Department and the administration is actually trying to smear you. They're accusing you of showboating. And you probably wouldn't have had to do this if they had done their job, send in special forces, send in the Navy SEALs, or better yet, gotten our Americans out before they closed and withdrew this from this operation or from this country.
Yeah, how about use the plan that President Trump had, where we were going to close the Kabul airport a second to last and keep Bagram airport
right.
until last. That way we can still have air support and have military personnel present to make sure this didn't happen. How about just use that plan and instead of blaming it on everybody? For
right.
me, I never wanted this to go public. We never went in there to try to go public. We wanted to be as quiet as possible. The Sentinel Foundation is non-political.
Yeah.
They don't want publicity like this. And so when we started teaming up with them, we made a decision not to go public with any of it. it. But the State Department leaked a conversation that was completely misinterpreted that I had with a with another ambassador when I asked him,
right,
who told you you couldn't work with me? And they said, we can't. It came out of D.C. And I said, sir, either you tell me who told you or you're going to hear from me in a different capacity, because we're going to have a hearing on this. And I'm going to find out eventually who told you not to work with us to get American citizens out. And he apologized profusely. It wasn't his fault. He was following orders from the State Department in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman, we really appreciate it.
I love, by the way, how the State Department has now spent more time slandering a congressman who's just trying to get people out of Afghanistan than they are actually trying to help those people get out of Afghanistan that this congressman is trying to get out. This is nothing but anti-American activities. In my opinion, that's what this is. That's what this is. Now, there's something else that is brewing right now that you need to know about. Gitmo detainees that were released in the Bo Bergdahl swap. Remember the soldier we swapped five of the most wanted members of the Taliban that we had at Guantanamo Bay? We swapped them for a deserter. Now, let me explain why Bo Bergdahl was a deserter. He willfully and knowingly deserted his duties and left the base on purpose. We risked life and limb to find him, and then we released five hardened terrorists. Now, we were told when this happened, and Congress was furious at the time when this happened, that they needed to get Congress approval, but they did it in the middle of the night and didn't go to Congress because they knew Congress would say no. Many would argue that Barack Obama and Joe Biden broke the law when they did that. But we were assured that they would stay in Qatar. We were assured they would not go back to the fight. We were assured they would not ever have the ability or the power to kill Americans again. Let me tell you about those Taliban men, those ex-Gitmo detainees. They're now in charge of the government. Those same men released in that Bergdahl swap are now in senior Taliban positions in the new government in Afghanistan. One of the men will become the acting minister of borders and tribal affairs, meaning good luck getting Americans out. This is the guy we had in Guantanamo Bay. The acting director of intelligence, he'll be in charge of finding Americans, rounding up and killing them, is detainee number two. Detainee number three is going to become the acting minister of information and culture. Detainee number four is going to be the deputy of defense. And detainee number five has already become a mayor of one of the provinces in Afghanistan. One of these men actually met with the Biden administration when they had the meeting about us getting out of the country. He's the one that declared jihad, just so you know. But yeah, they were never going to be against us again. Never going to fight against us again. If you think that, you know, people in Congress like Nancy Pelosi are working hard to try to get Americans out, or maybe even trying to convince Joe Biden to do more, or maybe trying to convince the State Department to get the hell out of the way of the private sector who are getting these Americans out. No, you're wrong. Don't worry. You're wrong. Nancy Pelosi actually wants you to give her and Joe Biden a pat on the back. She had this to say at her press conference.
I think the president made the right decision to leave Afghanistan. I think we should have left a long time ago. We should have stayed longer in the beginning to get the job done. We only routed the Taliban. We did not defeat them. And then we left to go to Afghanistan, to Iraq. But having said that, over time, I think we should have left sooner. I do think that the historic evacuation of 120,000 people was remarkable, and I commend the administration for that. This is never easy. That's not always complete right from the start. But it was remarkable, even though it got off to a hazy start. And now we go forward.
So there you go. It was historical and remarkable. Historic and remarkable what we did there. You know, we should have never been there. Should have never been as long as we were. Should have never gone to Iraq. Let's rewrite all that history real quick. Like, any of that matters with Americans there. We got a historic number of individuals out. So get excited about that as well. But again, Nancy Pelosi is now calling this botched Afghan withdrawal historic and remarkable. You think she's trying to work to get people out? Probably not. No, she's trying to rewrite the narrative out there. Right? I mean, wow. It's historic. It's remarkable what we were able to do. You should praise us for how incredible we are. She also went on to talk about what she says is the real national security issue. Instead of talking, instead of talking about the Americans being left behind and getting them out, she spent more time talking about, she says, the real national security issue. Nancy Pelosi says it's global warming.
A health issue and an economic and financial issue for families, lowering the cost for health care, home health care, child care, and the rest. And it will create jobs, millions of jobs, good-paying jobs, while tackling the climate crisis and advancing economic justice. For the children, you know, that's my why to be in Congress or in the public service, is for the children. And we owe it to our children to pass on a planet in a very responsible way. The reconciliation bill goes well beyond, well, it's hardly addressed in the infrastructure bill for reasons that you're well aware. But in this reconciliation bill, we recognize that this saving the planet, addressing the climate crisis is a health issue. The air our children breathe, the water they drink, safety and the environment in which they can thrive. It's a jobs issue. Jobs, 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 jobs. To be preeminent in the world in the new green technologies. Our initiatives are in furtherance of that.
You listen to Pelosi and you listen to her pushing this crap. Same crap Biden and Obama pushed during 8 years. It was a total and dismal failure. And this is a, hey, look over here. Don't worry about those Americans that are being hunted by the Taliban right now. Don't worry about that. The real national security issue that you need to be aware of is climate change. It is a national security issue. We're focused on that. We're going to get green jobs. We're going to get all these American jobs in the green sector, just like we did with Solyndra, and then they'll file for bankruptcy, and then all those people will be unemployed. But who cares? Because we're going to keep pushing it.
Having America be in the lead. Departure from previous administration.
Yeah, so we're going to be in the lead now, right? We're behind in everything else in the world, but damn it, we're going to be in the lead on climate change.
In terms of our public role in all of that, healthcare, jobs, security. National security experts will tell you that.
Here it is. Remember, we just allowed the Taliban to be in charge, and the five terrorists we let go from Gitmo and the Bo Bergdahl Exchange are now running the government. It's a terrorist organization, and Nancy Pelosi needs that headline to go away. So she's going to tell you now with a straight face, while Americans have been left behind, that climate change is the national security issue.
Competition for habitat and resources causing migrations and conflicts are a national security issue. Healthcare. Jobs, security, and morality. If you do believe that this planet, as I do, that this planet is God's creation, then we have a moral responsibility to be good stewards of it.
Well, yeah, forget being good stewards of actual human beings, right, that are left behind enemy lines, right? You want me to feel like I have a moral compass, or that you guys have a moral compass that should get behind you, saying, you know, I believe in God, but we'll leave Americans behind, but damn it, those trees, we're going to save them.
Believe that this planet, as I do, that this planet is God's creation, then we have a moral responsibility to be good stewards of it. But even if you don't share that religious belief, everybody knows that I hope everybody accepts the fact that we have a moral responsibility to our children to pass on this planet in the most responsible way possible. And the president has laid out serious goals in terms of emissions and the rest, and we plan to honor that in the reconciliation bill as we go forward.
So there it is, folks. Climate change is a national security issue. And if you're a Christian and you care about the world and you care about what's happening, then you need to get behind us right now. We're trying to save the world. We're trying to, you know, show that morally we're in charge. Forget the fact that, You know, Biden has literally built the Taliban back better, with better weapons, better military equipment, has fueled a resurgence in extremism. You know, remember, he was the guy when he ran that said, my agenda is to build back better. Instead of rebuilding America, he's destroyed it. The only thing he's built back better is the Taliban. The Taliban is being built back better. Billions of dollars of American weaponry, billions of dollars of American taxpayer-funded military equipment is now in the hands of the Taliban. And we built them back better by giving them five guys to lead their government that we had in Gitmo. The Taliban, by the way, built back better by Biden, is using this equipment to slaughter any anti-Taliban resistance in the country. The equipment is also falling into the hands of Iran. We've seen the pictures now of America's best military equipment in Iran. An Iranian Telegram channel recently released images of U.S. military vehicles on 18-wheelers in Iran and confirmed by the BBC. According to the British-based Times, the vehicles include American tanks, Humvees, and MRAPs. Mine-resistant ambush protected light armored vehicles that are resistant to roadside bombs. The U.S. military spent $84 billion on training equipment and otherwise building the Afghan security forces between 2002 and 2018, according to the Government Accountability Office, and all that crap is now in their hands. The U.S. also turned over at least 10 military facilities worth billions of dollars to the previous Afghan government, which is now in the hands of the Taliban. Bagram Airfield, which was turned over to the now defunct Afghan Ministry of Defense in July 1, 2021, was valued at $500 million. A recent Sunday Times article graph showed how much U.S. military equipment had been supplied to the Afghan security forces, now all in the hands of the Taliban. Taliban captured 12 tanks, 51 armored fighting vehicles, 61 artillery and mortars, 8 anti-aircraft guns, and 1,980 military trucks, vehicles, and jeeps. So if you want to know what Biden's building back better, it's the Taliban. We've given the leaders from Gitmo they wanted. We've given them the material they need to take over the state, the country, do whatever the hell they want to do. And you've got a Speaker of the House, instead of focusing on helping get actual Americans out of Afghanistan, right? Out of Afghanistan. What are they doing? We are going to tell you that the real national security crisis that we face in this country is global warming, and that is what we're focused on, and global warming jobs, because we're Christians. And we believe from a faith standpoint that we must leave this country in better shape than when we got it, and we were born into it. We're going to look at what happened in Wuhan and the lab there? No. We're going to look into Dr. Fauci lying, clearly lying about gang of function research and U.S. dollars going to do gang of function research in Wuhan? No. We're not going to do that. We're going to get these Americans out? No. We're going to try to stop Americans from getting out? Yes. We're going to slander American elected officials who are trying to get Americans out? Yes. And we're going to tell you that our national security issue is not Afghanistan, not the Taliban, not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, but global warming. Elections have consequences, folks, and we're only 7 months into this four-year disaster. I ask you each and every day, please make sure you share this podcast. Subscribe to this podcast. It's free. Please write us a review to help us on the podcast charts. And tell your family and friends about it. See you back here tomorrow.